Go back to 2 Galatians chapter 2. We're part 2, our victory in Christ. Part 2, our victory in Christ. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Everybody say it with me. I have been crucified with Christ. It is I who no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Now, remember, we never say I thinking about your body. You think I when he was referring to your spirit, your newborn, recreated human spirit. The real you is your spirit man. You possess a soul and you live in a body. So when he's talking about I, he's talking about old Paul, the sinner. The spiritual person of Paul is dead and crucified with Christ. He no longer lives, but Christ lives where? In him, inside of his spirit. And the life he now lives, he lives by the faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. In other words, this is your spiritual identity statement that you should make on a regular, on a daily. Amen? Because you have to deal with your flesh. You can't let your flesh talk you into identify with what you feel and what you see and what the facts are around you. Don't allow your flesh to do that to you. The devil every day is trying to steal your identity first thing in the morning. Oh, my back hurts when I get up. Oh, I got a headache. Oh, I got a sharp pain in my side. Oh. And he gets you to side with your flesh and your feelings and the facts that you face at the moment. And we said it before, if he can rob you or steal your identity, he can rob you of your inheritance and your destiny. Your inheritance is what belongs to you in Christ. And many of us need to acknowledge all the good things, as we read our next scripture, all the good things that's in us in Christ. So let's read Philemon 6. Let's look at that. He said that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. The Amplified Classic says it this way, and I pray that the participation in and the sharing of your faith may produce and promote full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours in our identification with Christ Jesus and unto his glory. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So we said that acknowledging means you recognize, you think about, you are conscious of, and you daily declare who you are in Christ and what you have in Christ. It also means to walk and live in the light of who you are in Christ. And we said when you acknowledge every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus, your faith will become effective. So you can think about two streams, my faith being ineffective and my faith being effective. Now, how you do this on a personal, granular, microscopic level of your own life? You look at, is my faith working for my prayers to be answered? Am I struggling with answered prayers or unanswered prayers? Long delays in manifestation of what I put my faith and release my faith towards. Because you can be doing it through religious tradition or legalism or just actions of the flesh and the mind, and you think you're in faith, but you're really in foolishness and presumption or religion. Amen? He said the communication of faith becomes effective when you acknowledge what he has done, who he is, what belongs to you because of what he's accomplished, what he's finished. But see, that's why the flesh rises up and the devil stimulates and stirs up your flesh to get you focused on what I've got to do, what I've got to get, how I got to make it through. Come on now, instead of realizing that he's already made it through. He's already gotten the victory. He's already overcome. He's already won the battle. Praise God. The battle is the Lord's. The victory is ours. I don't need to talk like a victim in the battle. I need to talk like a victor and a conqueror through the battle. Praise God. I got to praise my way through the battle. Not complain, grumble, right? And murmur and gossip and talk ugly or evil about the battle. Amen. So to access who you are in Christ and appropriate what you have and what belongs to you in Christ, you have to acknowledge it with your faith. You have to acknowledge it to access it. And most of us are real skillful and skilled in acknowledging what's going wrong, how we've been treated wrong, how things have gone wrong. We have a doom, despair, agony on me speech. We talk about the ugly, the ungodly, and the unsatisfactory things that are happening in my life. Don't shout me down, I'm preaching real good this morning. We have to acknowledge Jesus first and foremost in the morning. And you believe in your heart, you can speak it out of your mouth. Because these things are spiritual. But spiritual things can be transferred and translated into natural manifestations by faith. And you realize when everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to you, you'll recognize that, you acknowledge it, now you activate it. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Because I know some of y'all still get up the same way. We've been preaching on this for 2 months. Almost. Not exactly, about 5 weeks. Amen. But how are you going to get up in the morning, tomorrow? How are you going to go to bed tonight? When the scripture says my faith becomes effective when I acknowledge what? Every good thing that's in me. Acknowledging is essential for your faith to work properly. Faith must have a bold confession to work properly. Right? Now let's go to the next slide here. Colossians 2, 6 through 10. Now listen to this. As you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Everybody say, am I walking in him? Ask your neighbor next to you. Say, are you walking in him? That means living in him. So you got two choices, to live in Christ or to live outside of Christ, which is synonymous with being in crisis. Amen. You live and look a whole lot better in Christ than outside of Christ. It says, verse 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, and having, as you were taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through the philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him, everybody say in him, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. Everybody say, in him. So I'm complete in him. You're not incomplete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Now let me read this verse 6 and 7 out of the Amplified Classic for just a moment. and just kind of give you some more understanding of this. Listen to this very closely. Colossians 2, 6, and 7 out of the Amplified Classic, it says, as you have therefore received Christ, even Jesus the Lord, so walk, listen to this, regulate your lives and conduct yourselves in union and with and conformity to him. Have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in him. Everybody say in him. Fixed and founded in him. Everybody say in him. Being continually built up in him. There's three times. In him. Becoming increasingly more conformed and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving. So the question is, who or what is running you, ruling you, and regulating your daily life? Is it you or is it him? Come on, y'all. Who's running? Who's ruling? Who's regulating your daily life? Is it him or is it you? Amen. Definitely it's supposed to be him. Praise, right? So we say every day is a new day in Christ. And we all have the opportunity and the invitation. Everybody say opportunity. And the invitation to do what? To build up, to be confirmed and established in our faith, our focus, our faithfulness, our love and loyalty, where? In him. Now what happens when you hit the snooze button and you knocked off the snooze button three times and you're running behind schedule, so you get up and you rush in, take your shower, hygiene, grab something to eat. You cater to your flesh predominantly and principally first. So who's in charge right now? Your flesh. And then when you wake up that flesh and feed that flesh, you neglect your faith, which is supposed to be in Christ, and you're walking out with the outer man dominating the inner man. And that's how Christians can say things without even a hesitation. They can say things ugly. They can complain. They can be critical. They can go in with a bad mood or bad attitude. They can have a bad mood around the house. They can get depressed and discouraged even at their own house. Why? Who's dominating? The flesh is dominating. Amen. But he says, regulate your lives and conduct yourselves. In what? In union with Christ. So Christ is in the Spirit and Christ is in you. So instead of going in you to let that work out of you, you're trying to work it outside of you, and hopefully it'll get in me. But who's ruling? Who's running? Who's regulating your life? Whoo! Satan always offers you and I a counterfeit to victory. What's it called? Relief. Now, if you wake up with pain, particularly, or if you wake up with something bothering you physically, sometimes we take medicine without even praying about it. Now, just let me pop those pills. You're shaking that bottle. Nothing wrong with the pill, per se. Some pills have side effects. Some shots have side effects. But why are we taking medicine without our medical advisor? I'm taking this by faith. right? I'm not just taking these pills to feel better. I'm taking them by faith so I can get better. I can tap into what belongs to me, which is what? Healing. We never encourage anybody to take medicine without putting their faith in out there. I don't care if you got one pill or you got 10 to take. You got one shot or five shots to give. Y'all hear y'all going home already. You take that shot, and you, because I, you know, I get people always tell me, you know, because the new fad is what? These new exotic medicines that help you lose weight, help you get your blood sugar down, all that. You know, I can call their names. Y'all know them. One starts with a W, one starts with an O. And you know what I'm talking about. All these little weight loss stuff. One starts with a J. You see the commercials, right? And they say, well, get you down, get your weight down, get your blood. Good, but they got a lot of side effects. You have no spiritual side effects or birth defects in Christ. In Christ, you're healed. In Christ, you have heaven, access to heaven's health care. So why don't we acknowledge what we have and who we are? We are the healed. We're not trying to get healed. See, when you run and grab that bottle, and you run and grab that bottle of pills, you're basically saying, I'm trying to do it through the energy of my flesh because I'm trying to feel better. I'm not trying to get better. I'm taking the enemy's invitation and the enemy's temptation or offering. I want to get relief. I don't want victory. I've turned down victory. I'm getting relief. Y'all here? Y'all going home yet? Praise the Lord. And so he offers a so this is like a cheat code to getting what you desire outside of Christ. Now, don't go away and say, Pastor said, don't take medicine. No, I never said that. I said, don't take your medicine without your faith. In who? Your healer. Jesus is your healer, right? Jesus is in you, and because you're carrying him, you have everything you need, including healing, including divine health. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But see, our faith is ineffective when we don't acknowledge. Jesus, you're in me. You know the doctors told me to take these pills. So I'm taking these pills not just to feel better. I'm taking these pills to get better. And I've heard people even at work and in the church tell, oh, it's because I'm taking this. Why are you blaming the medicine? What has already told you? You got these side effects. But what do you have to do? Use your faith to resist. Why? Because what if it didn't happen to Christ, it's not supposed to happen to you. You think Christ is running around and saying, wait a minute, guys, I've been standing up too long. I got back pain. I can't go see him now because I got a headache. I can't serve because my stomach is upset. Everything that happened to that Christ overcame, you can and should overcome. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Our victory's in Christ. Come on, lift your hands and thank God. Man, that's enough to just come to church this morning. Thank you, Jesus. And when people tell you, I don't feel like coming to church, or I don't feel good, you're taking the devil's out. Relief. When Christ is offering us 100%, 24/7, 365 victory. Why do we settle for relief when we have victory? Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph and triumph. Always, 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 always calls us to triumph in Christ. Always means what? Always. Anytime, anywhere, any day. Victory is heading my way. Victory belongs to me every day. Somebody say, victory, victory, victory. Woo, glory to God. Now listen to this verse 10. Listen to verse 10 in the Amplified Classic. Colossians 2:10. Listen to this. Y'all getting something out of this? And you are in him. Where are we? In him. Made full and have come to fullness of life in Christ. You too are filled with the Godhead. Who? We are too. We're filled with the what? The Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To reach the full spiritual stature. That gets rid of all excuses, right? And he is the head of all rule and authority and every angelic principality and power. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Whew. Christ in me. Christ in me. The hope of glory. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. Dealing with a big problem, maybe at work or at home. Father, I thank you that in him, in Christ, I'm complete. I'm not incomplete. I'm not insufficient. I am sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. In the name of Jesus. I'm acknowledging it. Praise God. Another scripture I like to use, I don't have it in my notes, but in 1 Corinthians 1:30, you can write that down. 1 Corinthians 1:30. 1 Corinthians 1, it says, unto him, he's made unto you in Christ. God has made unto us what? Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Verse 30-31. Now listen to what it says in the Passion Translation. Let me pull up in Passion Translation. It says this. It says, for it is not from man that we draw our life, but from God. So as we have been joined to Jesus, listen to this, the anointed one. That's what Christ is, the anointed one in his anointing. And he is our, and now he is our God-given wisdom. Who is Jesus? He is our virtue, our holiness, and our redemption. And this fulfills what is written. If anyone boasts, let him only boast in all that the Lord has done. Wisdom makes me do things God's way, not my way. He's helping me do, how would you get out of this, Lord? How would you deal with this situation, Lord? Where is he? He's in you. I have access to wisdom because he is my wisdom. That means I don't have to say, well, I got to go back to school and get 6 more years of education. Nothing wrong with that. But Jesus is in you, the smartest person who ever walked this planet. He had the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. You got the smartest beings in the universe inside of you. You don't have to act dumb. You don't have to act like, okay, problem is too hard. The Bible says even in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah and in Genesis, the Lord challenged Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord? And Jeremiah says, nothing is too difficult for you. Nothing's too difficult. Getting this crazy family issue straightened out, is it too difficult? No. Why? Because Jesus is my wisdom. Amen. And when the devil comes, knocks you on the head with condemnation and guilt and say, you don't deserve to be healed. You don't deserve to get better. You don't deserve your kids to respect you. You said, no, he's my righteousness. And because I have right standing with God, I have right standing with man. Somebody say, praise God. I have favor with God and man. Praise God. And so I declare family peace because Christ is in me. Because I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Praise the Lord. Now, let me read this again, Colossians 6:12, 6:2-6 through 10 in the Living Bible. Now, hold on to your pants. Hold on to your belt. And now, just as you trusted Christ to save you. How many of you did that? Praise God. We trusted Christ to save you. Trust him too. Listen to this. For each day's problems. You say, Pastor, I don't have every day's problem. Yeah, you do, because the devil never takes a day off. And we've told you before, you may take a physical vacation or family vacation, but you may not, should not take a faith vacation, because you need your faith shield up to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. Praise God every day. Every day, it's a new day in Christ, but it's a new day where the devil's going to be arrayed against you. He's going to be opposed to you. He's going to try to steal your identity first. He said, trust him each day for each day's problems. Are you trusting him each day for each day's problem? Live in vital union with him. Let your roots grow down into him. Into who? Into him. And draw up nourishment from him. See that you go on growing in the Lord. That's for us to do, right? And become strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught. Let your lives overflow with joy and thanksgiving for all he has done. Listen, verse 8. Don't let others spoil your faith and joy in their philosophies, their wrong and shallow answers built on men's thoughts and ideas. That's why you got to know when your limit is on social media. You got to know where your limit is and cut the off button on listening to people who are conspiracy theorists. You got to know where your limit is when you can consume and watch the news in the spirit of faith. When you get in the spirit of fear, the news needs to go off. If you get in the spirit of fear because of something that pops up on your phone or a notification onto you or through your email or through watching it through TV, then you need to know where your limit is, because they're going to try to pull you. And what the scripture says, they will spoil you. Anybody ever drink spoiled milk? What'd you do? If you happen to drink something or put it in some food item, it made you what? Made you sick or nauseous. You don't want that to happen spiritually, right? He said, beware lest anyone spoil you. Don't let others spoil your faith. That's what the devil's after every day, your faith, right? Somebody say, praise the Lord. For in Christ, verse 9, for in Christ there is all of God in a human body, so that you have everything when you have Christ. Christ is enough. Now, if you're not impressed or impacted by Christ in you, you haven't seen him lately. When's the last time you've seen him? Come on, y'all. Because if you're not impacted or impressed, you hadn't seen him. You hadn't looked, oh, Christ in me. You haven't recognized, oh, that's Jesus in me. Jesus on the inside. You're going around the house singing, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Or singing that song by Reba Rambo, Christ in me, Christ in me. It's no longer I who live, but Christ in me. The anointed one and his anointing. A Jesus that they can see. Christ in me. Does people see the Jesus inside of you? Or are you trying to see that the flesh wants everybody to see me? How good I look, how much weight I lost. I got my hair done up. Come on now. The devil's very slick. He'll get you focused 80, 90% of your time on your flesh and your feelings. That's why you get the choice with the remote. That's why they sell so much cable and subscription movies, Netflix, Prime Video, all that. You got a choice. We got all these movies you can watch. And sometimes when we watch it, we'll get spoiled. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody said, glory to God. Somebody said, thank you, Jesus. He said, you have everything when you have Christ, and he filled you with God through your union with Christ. He filled you with God. When he gave you Christ, he filled you with God. In him dwells all the fullness of God, and you're complete in him. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me. Now, what the problem is, we don't feel it, we don't see it, and we don't act like it by faith, so we don't acknowledge it. We don't recognize it. We don't recognize that we're a powerful, God inside-minded person, filled with God. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Verse 6 reminds us to trust Christ for each day's problems. How? How are you doing it? How are you going to do that? Live in vital union with him. That means fellowship with him. Everybody say fellowship. We should require fellowship with God more than we require needed daily finances. Everybody in here needs daily finances. When you cut your house, your lights on in your house, when you cut your air conditioner on because it's hot now, what are you doing? You're spending money. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And you go on HEB, Walmart, they're not giving you money, typically. You go to Sprouts, whatever choice you are for groceries. You spending what? Costco, Sam's Club, you spending what? You're spending money. You put gas in your car, you're spending what? So we should require fellowship with Jesus more than we require finances for our needs. Now, fellowship is different than relationship, right? Relationship and fellowship are two different things. Relationships may never change, but fellowship can change. So you have Christians that they are child of God, or Christians, they have a relationship with God because they're a child of God, they got born again, but they are out of fellowship with God because they're not in vital union with him. Fellowship is when we're spirit to spirit firm. If fellowship is when there's no sin or selfishness separating us. Fellowship is when we're in partnership and communion with each other. There's a divine connectivity. In him, I live and move and have my being. Glory to God. I'm in fellowship with Jesus. I know the Lord. Are you in fellowship with him? Because you can get out of fellowship. You know that happens in a family context. Some people consider themselves, you know, I'm not in good standing with my people that I'm related to, or I'm in family relations with. Some people have challenges with their in-laws. Some people have challenges with their siblings. I don't talk to them much. Not good fellowship. You're in relationship, but not good fellowship. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So in Christ, our abilities are like God's. Unlimited, unfailing, unrestricted. Outside of Christ and living by our flesh and what we can feel, see, and figure out and calculate in our minds and our strength and our own strength, we go and live limited and crippled in life. And we will cheat and short circuit the plan of God and the will of God for our lives. So the devil teaches us to lie, to believe the lie, to cheat the system. Just stay up here and Worry about it. Figure it out. Calculate it. Try to make the numbers add up. Come on now. And see, when we do that, we're going to worry. We're going to complain our way through life. We're going to quit living how we were. We have to quit how we've been living, how we've been raised. Where we live at. We got to quit complaining where I live at. What's going wrong with me? What's going wrong with this situation? And we got to quit living out of our past and bad things that we've experienced in life. Because he said, old things are passed away. All things become new. And every day is a brand new day in Christ. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Y'all getting something out of this? All right. And so we have to establish our thinking and renew our minds daily that we are in him and in Christ. I say, everybody say, I am in him and I am in Christ. All right, Philippians 4:13. I think you guys can go to the next slide. Thank you. For I can do everything God asks me to do in the Living Bible. I can do everything God asks me to do with the help of Christ, who gives me the strength and power. For I can do everything, everybody say it with me, it's on the screen. For I can do everything God asks me to do with the help of Christ, who gives me strength and power. So how do you respond if the Lord says, I want you to give $1,000 extra, be the one for June? Now, if you're in the flesh and if you're mine, you say, what? I don't have that. But how are you supposed to respond? In Christ, I can give it because in Christ, I have it. You're not going by what you feel, see, or the facts and figures around you. If the Holy Ghost told you, you be the one to give the $1,000 extra for the summer project. A skillful response is, in Christ, I can. And in Christ, I have it. Because he'll get it to me so he can get it through me. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Colossians 3:1. And two, listen, if then you have been raised with Christ into a new life, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead, aim at, seek rich eternal treasures that are of above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and set your minds and keep them set on what? On what is above, the higher things. Everybody say the higher things. Too many times we're talking lower things. We're not talking higher things. On the things that are on the earth. Having an in Christ mindset and mentality is crucial and vital to experiencing true victory. Because if you're always talking about your pain, your problem, your predicament, the pressure you're under, guess what you're doing? Lower things. You're talking and thinking lower things. Somebody say, praise God. Our minds will attract whatever gets in it and keeps you thinking about it. If it's a crisis, you will attract a victim mentality and mindset. And you'll try to think that you have to figure it out and calculate how you're going to get the victory in this situation and crisis. You're up at night. You're worrying yourself sick. You're talking about the problem. So what happens? You focus on the problems. The problem gets bigger. If it is in Christ, you will attract victory mindset and mentality. You don't ever think and pray for victory, but from victory. Jesus has already gotten you the victory. How do you know that you're going to, how do you know you're worrying and thinking outside of Christ? Your thinking and your thoughts are dwelling on the problem, the pain, the pressurized situation. I'm sick. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, last slide. Last slide. We'll close with this one. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. That's a victory. How? By the blood of the Lamb and the what? Word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to death. So the word of their testimony is simply your confession of faith or your words. Your confession of faith, your words. 1 John 5:4 says, now every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. The Passion Translation says, you see it there, you see every child of God overcomes the world, for our faith is the victorious power that triumphs over the world. So, but we learned earlier that our faith becomes effective by doing what? Acknowledging every good thing that's in us in Christ. Who we are, what belongs to us, where we are, what we are in Christ. You're not a victim. Don't talk like a victim. Somebody say, praise the Lord. This it reveals the importance of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and faith in the Son of God, faith in his finished works, his death, burial, and resurrection, and his exaltation as Lord, Savior, and Redeemer. These are the key to victory. These are keys to victory. Everybody say, key to victory. Praise God. Come on, y'all stand right now. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I never did get to that Romans part. I wanted to get to that, but that's okay. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Everybody say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Come on, lift your hands and thank you, Lord.